plunged beneath that flood, lose on their guilty stains, lose on their guilty stains, lose on their guilty stains. Sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ooh. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I go wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I go by as he wash all my sins away.
From over hill and plain, there comes a single strain. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Its music rolls along, the hills take up the song of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, cries our great commander, on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land, through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come join our loyal throng, we'll rout the giant wrong. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, cries our great commander, great commander. Command, we'll soon possess the land, through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. The strength of youth we lay at Jesus' feet today, 'tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. His gospel we'll proclaim throughout the world's domain, of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. On to victory, cries our great commander, great commander.
soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Loyalty.
Say, Lord, day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows fair haven's land. Here was the voyage sailor, now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat sailor, pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Trust in the lifeboat sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Leave not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds of darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore. Glory, glory, hallelujah!
Pull for the shore, pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow.
Strength for today is mine all the way.
And
time of storm.
all foes of right on our knees. A shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land.
Is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the
soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood washed, born again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is a mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must there be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Here we go, everybody. Friday. It is time. And I put this off for about a week or so. I just really didn't feel led of the Lord to really talk about it yet. But last night, I started doing some digging. And I just kept digging. And the more, I felt like that game Dig Dug. Did anybody play that Atari game Dig Dug when they were a kid? Maybe you didn't, but I did. And I just kept digging and digging and digging. And it really wasn't that hard. But I started to come up with a lot of information that I thought, you know, this needs to be talked about. Because we need to tell the truth about this. So I don't have a lot of time for all the pleasantries, and I don't have a lot of time for, like, saying hi to everybody and going through the list. I really have a lot to talk about today. And I want to try to get it all in this 2 hours' time. I may go over a little bit. I hope I don't. Maybe I'll get it done in an hour and a half, and I'll sit here for a half an hour and take a nap. I've been fighting some sinus thing. I feel fine. I'm a little tired, but I'm not, like, I don't have any fever. I'm not coughing. I'm not, you know, anything like that. Just, you know, normal seasonal sinus junk that comes up. Anyway, but so I'm looking at this, and I started digging a little bit, and I thought, boy, this is interesting. And then I found the evidence that I needed. Then I found exactly what I needed. You know, it's kind of weird. I'll show you a few things that I think is weird about this judge. Well, a lot of things. First off, I thought this was really weird. Pelosi says questions on Barrett's Catholicism off limits. Now, when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's kind of, I just filed that away in the little tickler file and thought, okay. Huh. Well, why is that? Because I'll tell you something. If she was a fundamental Baptist, it wouldn't be off limits. But it was kind of weird. So I started looking around. I had looked around earlier in the week, and I was going to do something about it, but I said, I'll wait. All these people are like, oh, nope, don't talk about her faith. It's off limits. And then let me show you something that really caught my eye. Let me see here. I want to show you something. That it really caught my eye, and I was like, okay. Maybe that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Hang on. Then I saw this. I saw this, and then it really pushed me. Listen to what Trump said.
He was a happy warrior. I know it well. I consider myself to be a happy warrior, but it's not so easy in these times. But he was a happy warrior of American politics. He spent his life fighting for hardworking Americans and battling the anti-Catholic prejudice that you see even today coming out of the Democrat Party.
Well, I have anti-Catholic prejudice, and I'm not a Democrat. I hate the doctrine of Roman Catholicism. Remember, it's his administration that doled out billions of dollars to pay off the same-sex marriage, or pay off the child molestation charges of Rome. Just want you to remember that.
Today, this amazing group continues that proud tradition of faithful service. Your work reminds us of an essential truth. In this country, civil society, and especially our religious institutions, are an essential foundation of American freedom. Our nation is strong because of Catholics, and frankly...
Whoa! Because of Catholics? Really? Huh. But I'm going somewhere with this. So, this is a springboard. Pelosi says it, no anti-Catholic stuff. He says it. They're trying to squash this and push it through before some evangelical, hard right Trump supporters go, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. That's what they're doing. Just keep listening. It'll get more interesting as I go.
People of all faiths. That is why, as president, one of my top priorities is to defend religious liberty and the cherished role of faith and faith-based organizations in our national life. To protect your God-given rights, I was recently honored to nominate one of our most brilliant legal minds, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, to the United States Supreme Court, and that was an honor indeed. She is a proud graduate of the University of Notre Dame Law School, where her professor, one of the most respected anywhere in the country, said she was the single greatest student he has ever had in his class. We will not stand for any attacks against Judge Barrett's faith. Anti-Catholic bigotry has absolutely no place in the United States of America. It predominates in the Democrat Party, and we must do something immediately about it, like a Republican win, and let's make it a really big one to support the noble men.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what Trump... Now, Trump is a wizard. I want you to understand that. He absolutely knows how to do things. He's bolstering up the right, the religious right. He's getting Protestants, he's getting Baptists, he's getting those people to support this. Now, they use the other side, the Hegelian dialectic, to war against it when really they're trying to accomplish the same thing. Because if the Democrats are against it, then the Republicans are going to be like, well, I'm for it. Automatically, I'm for it. Okay? But who is this woman? Right? Who is this woman? I'm going to show you who she is. I love it. Okay, Christy Nelson comes on here, and I'm going to answer some naysayers right away. She's far better than RBG. What do you want? Not a stinking Jesuit. That's what I want. I don't want a little cult member Jesuit coadjutor witch. That's what I don't want. How do you like them apples? Take them, eat them, slice them up, dip them in some taffy. I don't care what you do with them. Those are the apples I'm giving you. That's what I want. I don't want a stinking devil. That's what I don't want. How do you like that? I'm tired of Christians telling me I gotta support a stinking Jesuit. I gotta support a bunch of godless, wicked devils. I'm not doing it. I don't care what little veneer you wrap them in. I'm not pushing the button for Trump. I'm not voting for him. I'm not following the game. And if you don't like it, don't listen. I'm not emotionally attached to your Hegelian dialectic. I'm not running around here afraid and shaking in my boots. I'm not going to live my life like that. Really? She does? I want to show you who she is. Show you who she is. Here we go. I knew I was going to be fired up today. I knew I was going to be fired up. I knew I was because I love the pushback. I love it. I love it. You know why I love it so much? Because I know I'm right. I know that all I'm doing is giving facts. And all they're going to do is become emotional little girlfriends that got told no, that got dumped. And that's how they're going to act. They're going to act like emotional little girlfriends that got dumped, that found out their boyfriend wasn't legit. That's just what's going to happen. That's how it's going to be. I'm telling you. All right. I want to show you something here because this is going to go somewhere fast. Like, we're not going to, like, hang out. We're not going to hang out and mess around. It's going to go fast. Because most of my friends, even pastors and others, they just won't talk about it. They won't say it. Well, it's better than the other one. Really? Why? Because the label's different? You know what that's like saying? It's like saying cigarettes don't cause cancer if the label's not on them. But if there's a label on it, then they cause cancer. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me as long as the label is different, then the same camels, if they didn't have the label on them, the Surgeon General's warning about cancer, then they wouldn't cause cancer. But because Marlboros have the label on them, they cause cancer. It's really the idiocy that I hear from people most of the time. And I know, I'm just a big jerk-faced monkey boy because I tell you the truth. I have to be the adult in the room, and I have to tell you, I'm sorry, your boyfriend's a jerk. I have to be the one to tell you, I'm sorry, your girlfriend's a hoe. And everybody gets mad. That's what happens. And then everybody gets mad at me. Oh, you're following people who want to put you in God's. Oh, you're a Democrat? No, I grew up and I put away childish things. And I saw Democrats are devils and most Republicans are devils. So they all be devils. That's what I just grew up and I looked at both of them. I got past their rhetoric and I told you it's going to be long. I know it. I'm going to give all my energy and go and be done. You are attacking by calling names and not being Christ-like. Well, I don't know what Bible you read, but I'm sorry. I'm going to quit answering you. And Luke James, quit putting false accounts up here. You're not staying on my page, just so you know. You're not staying on here. Quit starting up false accounts and coming on my account. I'm telling you, there's going to be some mad people that do not. And Satan, I'm telling you, Satan does not want me to get this out. I'm telling you, he doesn't. Because they don't like warnings coming out. They hate it. Satan and his devils hate it. See, I get past the rhetoric of the right-left paradigm. I've grown up. I get past it, and I look at it, and I see it. They both do the same thing. They both do the same thing. Okay, let's go. All right. Let's see. We are going to go here. Now, when you start digging in, they say she's a Roman Catholic. Okay. Well, that's bad enough. That since when did Protestants and Baptists, since when were they all cushy with Rome? Oh, she's a Catholic, so she's pro-life. Okay, what's the pro-life movement ever done to save babies' lives? Christy Nelson. See, this is a tactic of Jezebel's. I know I shouldn't feed the trolls, but listen. This is a tactic of Jezebel's. See, I'm the nice little meek lamb. Bah, bah, bah. You're the big mean wolf bully because you've got passion and you talk. Bah, bah. I'm sorry. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. I'm so over that thing right there that you'll not shut me up by saying, you should be a little pony and go in the corner and eat little apples and lick people's hands and let children ride you. That's what you should be. Well, I got, you know what? I grew up and got out of high school and I figured out that I really don't let people dictate to me how I do things. It's just how it is. I don't. And you're right. I'm like a stinking rocket. I absolutely am. And I told my wife yesterday, the rocket was going to fly and it was going to fly high. And that's what it was going to do. And I wasn't going to care about all their little cries of you be nice to the cult leaders. You should be nice to those that are in cults that want to destroy your nation and that want to enslave your children. You should be nice to cult members. You should be nice to Jesuits. They love you. Sorry, I don't do that. And I'm me. I'm not the quiet guy. If you're looking for that guy, you should go to the other channel for the guy that speaks monotone. I'm not the monotone guy. I'm not ever going to be that guy. God didn't make me to be that guy. I'll never be that monotone guy that goes, dry eyes. I'm not that guy. If you're looking for that guy, switch over because you ain't getting him here. Better shut it off now because you're going to be ticked because I'm not that guy. And I don't want to be that guy. Ever. I'm not that person. I don't want to be. Okay, so here's the key. And you're right, Dick Nixon. They are led by and follow pedophile Luciferians. That's right. That's exactly who they are. Okay, now that I'm done messing around with them, I'm done messing around with them, okay? So all trolls will just be eliminated. The bridge will be dropped on them. The TNT dynamite will blow them out, and we will be done because I will not deal with them the rest of it, okay? All right, so let's move on and be big boys and big girls. And boys, you can pull your pants up and your big boy pants up. And girls, just put a good skirt on and dress like a lady. There you go. That was free. Didn't cost you anything. I'm telling you, I don't care if I offend people with this. I don't. I'm so tired of people wanting to follow their emotions over true facts. Don't interrupt my paradigm. Don't interrupt my world. I like my R and I like my D. Well, I like my Bible better than all of it. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. Is everybody ready? Here we go. All right. So is it enough that they're Catholic? Well, that should be enough for most of us. And the fact that she went to Notre Dame, but I'm sorry, there's more evidence. And it's so good for us to understand it. It's so good for us to see it. She is in a cult, number one, which is Roman Catholicism, is a cult, by the way. But she's in a deeper cult that's Jesuit ordered, Jesuit trained. Okay, here it is. She's in a tightly knit interdenominational charismatic lay Christian parachurch community called People of Praise, which is 95% Catholic, by the way. Christy, I'll get to the point when I feel like it. That's exactly what I'll do. That's I'll get to it when I feel like it. And if you don't like it, you don't understand how much it makes me happy that you don't like it. I'm the guy that will do jumping jacks because I make some Jezebel mad at me because I'm telling the truth. You got to understand, I'm the guy that would love to go, woohoo, I'm making you mad. That's when you have a spirit like that, that's what I'm like. You don't understand, Christy. I'm not here for you to have a discussion with me. I'm here to teach you what I want to teach. And if you don't like it, you could skippy-doo-dah down the road somewhere else. I don't get pushed over by that Jezebel spirit. You push against me, I push back harder. That's me. Ah, you don't know how much fun this is for me. Well, people aren't going to listen to you. Well, that's okay. That's okay. It really is okay. I love it. This, you don't know how much this energizes me. I love it. I love it. And if it takes me 3 hours to do it, hey, I got time. I got time. I got time. Man, I love it. Why do I love it so much? I don't know. I just do. I love it when I feel that Jezebel spirit in all this, by the way. Judge Amy Coney Barrett. The one that's fighting me. I love it. I love it. Here we go. Okay, you ready? See, Barrett's in a tightly knit international group, People of Praise. Now, we're gonna explain who this is. Okay? I'm gonna explain to you and read to you who these people are. But it's gonna take a little while, so you're gonna have to be patient. Because I'm not giving you gotcha moments. I'm not that guy. Okay? I don't do fake gotcha moments. I expect you to be big boys and big girls and listen. And thoroughly listen to it. All right. People of Praise is a network of lay Christian intentional communities. It's a cult. As a parachurch apostolate, membership is open. Now, when they say parachurch, they're talking about para-Roman Catholic. Do you understand? But it's open to any baptized Christian. Well, Rome doesn't baptize Christians, so what are they talking about? Roman Catholicism doesn't baptize. Well, they mean Protestants and Catholics. Such as Baptist. Okay, so who are these people? The majority are Catholics, so Protestants can also join, reflecting the ecumenical nature of People of Praise. It has 22 branches in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, with approximately 1,700 members. It founded Trinity Schools, which are aligned with the philosophy of classic Christian education. People of Praise was formed in 1971 by Kevin Rannigan and Paul DeCellis, both men involved with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Now, I'm going to give you a short history of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Again, I showed you this video a year ago. Rome started this movement. The charismatic movement has always been about Rome. It always has been, and it always will be. It's their ecumenical movement.
Kneeling in solitude, Sister Elena, a devout Catholic nun and foundress of the Sisters of the Holy Spirit, prayed to God again and again.
Father, in the name of Jesus, send forth your spirit and renew the world. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oof. Elena Guerra prayed the way we pray. She was like a prophetess of this new coming of the Spirit.
As the world stood poised to enter the 20th century, Sister Elena's passion for the Holy Spirit would spread far beyond the walls of her small order. Elena Guerra was devoted to her faith from a young age and established her own congregation in 1866 in order to educate young women. Her deepest passion was to see the Holy Spirit renew the world.
Elena said things about the Holy Spirit like, if only we would want him, if only we would...
If only we would. This is why women are not supposed to lead in spiritual matters, but men are, because women that do this are usually witches.
Seek him. If only we would pray to him, he would surely come.
Between 1895 and 1903, Sister Elena penned 12 confidential letters to Pope Leo XIII. She urged the Pope to lead the church back to the upper room, to a posture of expectant prayer displayed by the apostles, Mary, the mother of Christ.
I'm sorry, but I loathe that breathy type of speaking like that, that women do when they're usually Jezebel witches. That breathy stuff.
Christ and other believers before Pentecost. Elena wanted the church to experience a perpetual Pentecost.
And the amazing thing is, the Pope took it very seriously and, in fact, responded.
I'm not amazed because he's a stinking witch. So they all are. So why would we be amazed by the Pope being a witch? I'm amazed by that.
To that.
Prompted by Elena's letters, Pope Leo called for a special time of prayer each year between Ascension Day and Pentecost. The bishops and cardinals soon lost passion for the special prayers, but Elena did not. She encouraged the Pope to teach more fully on the Holy Spirit, which inspired him to write a letter to the bishops.
I mean, could you absolutely imagine some woman telling this supposed preacher what to preach? You know it's witchcraft Jezebel right there. Go to the Bible, go to Jezebel and Ahab, and you can see it right there. That's exactly what it is.
The letter, titled Divinum Illud Munus, emphasized the indwelling and miraculous power of the Holy Spirit.
A landmark document on the Holy Spirit. It's still looked back to today as just a milestone of writing on the Holy Spirit.
Still not satisfied, Elena urged Pope Leo to invoke the hymn Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Holy Spirit, over the first day of the new century.
Pope Leo XIII went into St. Peter's Basilica and, surrounded by the bishops and cardinals of the church, sang in a solemn way, Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Creator Spirit. And he solemnly dedicated and consecrated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit. And of course, at the very same time, January 1st, 1901, in Topeka, Kansas, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the little group there gathered at the Bethel Bible School.
Agnes Osman, a student at the Bible School, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and spoke in
all women, all the time,
in tongues late New Year's Day after prayer and the laying on of hands. Her experience, echoed by several other students, sparked the modern Pentecostal movement.
You see this amazing convergence of prayer to the Lord for a new coming of the Holy Spirit.
So it's interesting that something was happening in Rome on January 1st, 1901, the Pope calling down the Holy Spirit. And then in Topeka, Kansas, we have the beginning of the Pentecostal movement. So it's very interesting how the Lord...
I think it's very interesting, too. I think it's very interesting that we have proof that Rome started the charismatic movement, and those bunch of witchy poos that were calling up spirits they think is the Holy Spirit.
Began the 20th century by pouring out his Holy Spirit that way.
By 1906, members of the Bethel Bible School group, most notably William J. Seymour, were leading the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. Healings, salvations, and the renewed power to witness all flowed from Azusa Street, just as signs and wonders flowed from the upper room of the Disciples' Day.
We owe a great debt to our Protestant brothers and sisters who have been witnesses to the reality of the Holy Spirit for so many years.
Sister Elena's prayers again bore fruit in 1958, when white smoke billowed from the chimney over the Sistine Chapel, signaling the election of Pope John XXIII, who, like Sister Elena, longed for the Holy Spirit to renew the church. He said the Holy Spirit had inspired him to reset the church's relationship with the world. It was time.
As we see the hostility to Christ in the church that's growing in our culture, people are realizing, you know what? If we keep on doing business as usual, that's not gonna work.
In 1962, Pope John convened a church council, later called Vatican II, hoping to pave the way for Christian unity. He asked Christians everywhere to join him and joyfully echo his prayer to the Holy Spirit. Renew your wonders in our time, as though for a new Pentecost.
He was looking for energy. He was looking for power from on high. He was looking for God to do something. He was looking for a new Pentecost.
And so he anticipated.
Where does the Bible say that we're to look for a new Pentecost? Where does it say that ever, anywhere? It doesn't.
That Vatican II was going to open the windows of the church to the Holy Spirit and apparently to signs and wonders.
Pope John passed away in 1963 before Vatican II concluded. He was succeeded by Pope Paul VI, who found the world devolving into chaos. A new generation was thumbing its nose at convention. Students took to the street.
Hey, that looks like a charismatic renewal meeting where they're dancing and jumping around.
It's in protest. Turbulence ruled the decade.
At that point, a lot of people were questioning everything and questioning God.
David Mangan was a graduate student in physics at Duquesne University in
Okay, I'm not
the
gonna
pastor who worked with
I'm not gonna play the whole thing for you just because if we continue it we won't have enough time probably to get through
Spirit,
everything.
Why isn't the Holy Spirit doing this in my life?
Patty Mansfield was a 20-year-old French major at Duquesne when she attended the retreat.
And we were told to do three things. First, pray with expectant faith. Expect that this retreat was going to do something for us. The next thing was to take the Bible and read the first four chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. To tell you how ignorant I was of the scripture, I had no idea where to find the Acts of the Apostles. I figured it was the New Testament because I knew the apostles were in the time of Jesus.
The students opened each session.
So it had nothing to do with the Bible. It had nothing to do with the Word of God. That's what they're saying.
...of the retreat with the hymn Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Holy Spirit, the same hymn Pope Leo invoked over the 20th century.
Invoked. It's the one he invoked, right? It's the one he invoked.
The speakers taught from Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
The word for power is the same Greek word where we in English would get the word dynamite. And he liked it all, and I knew that that's where I belonged and where I was. But I don't think I could have used the word dynamite as an adjective to describe me with an exclamation point.
So anyway, this guy talks about signs and wonders they have, visions, and seeing all these other things. So, why do I say that? Why do I show you that? Because two charismatics came from Rome. Kevin Rannigan and Paul De Celis, both men were involved in the Catholic charismatic renewal in which the Pentecostal religious experience such as baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophecy, and are practiced by Catholics in its early history. It influenced the institutional development of the Catholic charismatic movement. Why is that important? Amy Coney Barrett attends this cult. And I'm going to show you why I call it a cult. I'll show you why. Not just because of this. People of praise practice a form of spiritual direction. Now that's important to understand. What exactly is that? Well, we're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at where it came from. Spiritual direction is the practice of being with people as they attempt to deepen their relationship with the divine or to learn and grow in their own personal spirituality. The person seeking direction shares stories of their encounters of the divine, or how they are cultivating a life attuned to spiritual things. The director listens and asks questions to assist the directee in his or her process of reflection and spiritual growth. Spiritual direction advocates claim that it develops a deeper awareness with the spiritual aspects of being human, and that it's not psychotherapy. Well, I don't think it is psychotherapy. I think it's spiritual therapy of the spirits. While there is some degree of variability, there are primarily two forms of spiritual direction: regular direction and retreat direction. They differ largely in the frequency of meeting and the intensity of reflection. Regular direction can involve a one to two hour meeting every 4 to 8 weeks, and thus is slightly less intense than retreat direction. Although spiritual exercises, ding, 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 that word ought to ring true to you if you understand where I'm coming from. Spiritual exercises are from Ignatius Loyola. They are Jesuit-trained exercises. This woman, Amy Coney Barrett, is trained through spiritual exercises. She's been trained Jesuit. If the directory is on a retreat lasting a weekend or even 40 days, they will generally meet with the director on a daily basis. What is it? Mind control? She's been mind controlled. That's where it comes from. It's mind control. Spiritual exercises are mysticism, and they are witchcraft. And I'm going to show you that. This lady has been trained. She is a Jesuit coadjutor. What do you mean by that? Okay. Not to mention the different groups she was in at Notre Dame. She is trained to be a Jesuit coadjutor. What does that mean? She's not a Jesuit priest. There are Jesuit priests, and then there are Jesuit coadjutors who are trained in Jesuit philosophies and teaching. I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to remind you who Ignatius Loyola is. I'm going to remind you of it. I'm going to look at his spiritual exercises. We're going to talk about it. Okay? Just bear with me. Give me time to lay it all out for you. They will generally meet with their director on a daily basis for 1 hour. So why is it important? Why is it important that Trump keeps saying no anti-Catholic bigotry? Why is it important for Pelosi on the other side to say the same thing? Here's why. Here's why. They don't want people exposing this. That's why. Not that she's just an overall general Catholic, everybody on the court is. But the fact that she's part of this cult, this Catholic, charismatic, Protestant infiltrated cult that teaches the spiritual exercises. Look, they will generally meet with the director on a daily basis for 1 hour. During these daily meetings, exercises of spiritual discipline, such as the Lectio Divina, are given to the directee as fodder to continue his or her spiritual growth. Look what's used. The spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola are a popular example of guidelines used for spiritual direction. What are they admitting here? This contemplative mysticism, the guidelines for this cult, is Loyola's spiritual exercises. Right? Let's go back to People of Praise. People of Praise practice a form of spiritual direction that involves the supervision of a member by a more spiritually mature person called a head. People of Praise maintain that members retain their freedom of conscience under such direction. That's a lie! Why is that a lie? I'm going to show you why it's a lie. Okay? All right. I'm going to read it to you from David Cloud's book. You can order that book, Contemplative Mysticism. Okay? But I'm going to read to you about Ignatius Loyola and what he taught. Okay? Ignatius Loyola was the founder of the Jesuits, or the Society of Jesus. He was pronounced a saint in 1622 by Pope Gregory XV. Ignatius was converted by reading the legendary lives of Catholic saints by Ludolf Saxony and the golden legend of Jacopo Varese, and by allegedly seeing a vision of the baby Jesus in Mary's arms. That's not salvation. How does it start out? Just like Muhammad did. It always starts out with a witchy poo vision. It doesn't start out with the word of God. It always starts out with visions. Its authority is not the word of God. It's some vision. That's what it is always. And by allegedly seeing a vision of the baby Jesus in Mary's arms, Ignatius vowed to serve only God and the Roman pontiff, his vicar on earth. Now I'm going to get to that, why they don't retain freedom of conscience. Baptists have freedom of conscience. Baptists are taught freedom of conscience. It is a distinctive of Baptist faith. He also dedicated his life to Mary. At the pilgrim site of Our Lady of Arantazu in Spain, he made a vow of chastity to her and entrusted himself to her protection and patronage. He spent an entire night venerating the Black Virgin at the Abbey of Montserrat near Barcelona and surrendered his sword and dagger to her. What does that mean? It means he surrendered to Jezebel, the Queen of Heaven, that spirit. Loyola's asceticism was very extreme. He lived for a year in a cave, wearing rags, never bathing, and begging for his food. All of this was an effort to do penance for his sins. He scourged and starved himself and slept very little. He taught that penance for sin requires chastising the body by inflicting sensible pain on it, though wearing hair shirts, cords, or iron chains on the body, or by scourging or wounding oneself, and by other kinds of austerities. The Society of Jesus was approved in 1540 by Pope Paul III with a papal bull, Regimina Militantis Ecclesia, to the government of the church militant, and was a major part of the brutal counter-reformation. The Jesuits were called the Pope's shock troops, the Pope's murder men, right? By 1650, there were 15,000 of them operating throughout the world. Pope Paul was a staunch proponent of the Inquisition and the founder of the Council of Trent, which issued curses against those who refused to accept Catholic doctrine. So do you care that a Supreme Court justice that President Trump and all the Protestants and Catholics are good with? Do you care that she's been trained in contemplative mysticism and occult practices? Does that bother you? Does that bother you at all? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you got to tell me, look, this good witch is better than a bad witch, right? Well, I would rather have a sandwich, right? Think about that for a second. See, this is what I feel like everybody tells us.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who, me? I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas.
Oh. Gotcha. Because isn't that what they're telling us? Are you a good witch or a bad witch? You see the example there? See, they show the one later where the house falls on it and she takes the ruby red slippers away. Right? Well, that's the bad witch. That one's a good witch. And Dorothy says, well, I'm not a witch at all, but you are. You're practicing witchcraft. You have the ruby red slippers, my dear. Well, methinks Judge Amy Coney Barrett has the ruby red slippers. Ignatius Jesuits took a vow of complete submission to the Pope, the superiors of their order, and the Catholic Church. So why can't they practice freedom of conscience? Well, here's why they can't practice freedom of conscience. Because those that practice the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola are fiercely loyal to the Pope. To that black Pope, to that Jesuit Pope. Who, by the way, a Jesuit Pope is the Pope now. They were determined to go without question wherever the Pope might direct, and were instructed as follows. Let everyone persuade himself that he who lives under obedience should be moved and directed under divine providence by his superior, just as if he were a corpse which allows itself to be moved and led in every direction. What is Judge Amy Coney Barrett? She is a corpse in the hands of the Pope. That's who she is. In spiritual exercises, Ignatius Loyola taught absolute obedience to Rome. We must put aside all judgment of our own and keep the mind ever ready and prompt to obey in all things the true spouse of Christ, our Lord, our Holy Mother, the hierarchical church. We should praise sacramental confession, the frequent hearing of Mass, vows of religion, relics of the saints by venerating them, the regulation of the church, images and veneration of them. Finally, we must praise all the commandments of the church and be on the alert and find reason to defend them and by no reason in order to criticize them. If we wish to proceed securely in all things, we must hold fast the following principle. What seems to me white, I will believe black if the hierarchical church so defines it. Wow. So, what does that mean? Means that she's a corpse in the hands of the Pope, so she's lying. My faith doesn't matter. Her sister gets on there and says, her faith doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. She's lying. The members of Ignatius Loyola's society were willing to lie, steal, and kill for the Pope and for the immediate superiors. The Jesuits plotted and often succeeded in the violent overthrow of governments and the assassination of non-Catholic leaders. They were instigated in the Gunpowder Plot, which was an attempt in November 1605 to kill King James, and the members of the British Parliament. 6 months earlier, Guy Fawkes had taken a solemn oath with his conspirators, which oath was then sanctified by the performing of Mass and the administrating of the sacraments by the Jesuit priest John Girard. Guy Fawkes, Jesuit, trained, coadjutor. Thank you. Ignatius, see what I mean? Now let's go back to this so you don't forget. People of praise, they practice a form of spiritual direction that involves the supervision of a member. That's their guide. That's their spiritual guide. That's who it is. A person called the head. But they retain their freedom of conscience. No Jesuit coadjutor retains their freedom of conscience. They are a corpse in the Pope's hands. They are a corpse. That's who they are. In the Pope's hands. So what other of the spiritual exercises do they are there? They emphasize purifying oneself through asceticism and using the imagination in prayer. Do you understand? What are they talking about? Visualization prayer. Visualization prayer. Illumination. One is time of purgation and purifying through confession and asceticism. Week two is a time of illumination by meditating on Christ. Three is unitive, characterizing by intimate and habitual union with God. Visualization prayer is a central part of Ignatius' exercises. The practitioner is to spend 4 to 5 hours each day in this practice. He is to walk into biblical and extra-biblical historical scenes through the imagination and bring the scene into life by applying all five senses, seeing the events, hearing what people are saying, smelling, tasting, touching things, all within the realm of pure imagination. He is even to put himself into the scene, talking to people and serving them. Ignatius encourages practitioners, for example, to imagine themselves present at Jesus' birth and crucifixion. Do you understand what he's doing? Do you understand what's happening? Do you understand what's going on here? It's witchcraft. Imagine Christ, our Lord, present before you upon the cross and begin to speak with him. Doesn't tell me to do that anywhere in the Bible. Imagine here it would be to see in imagination the length, breadth, and depth of hell. To see in imagination the vast fires and the souls enclosed. To hear the wailing with the sense of smell. To perceive the smoke. To taste the bitterness. To touch the flames. I will see and consider the three divine persons seated on the royal dais or throne of the divine majesty. I will see Our Lady and the angels saluting her. I will see Our Lady, Saint Joseph, the maid, and the child Jesus after his birth. I will make myself a poor little unworthy slave, as though present, look upon them, contemplate them, and serve them. You be a witch. This is what she's trained in. This is what your next Supreme Court justice is trained in. That's the teaching. And I've only been an hour into it. I got another hour to go here. Bear with me. I know it's long. You know, it's reading. You got to listen. But you're going to learn something. And some of you, there's a lot, not you guys, but a lot of people out there that'll listen to this that are just going to come on and get mad. But I'm not saying anything that's not fact about spiritual exercises. Ignatius Loyola being a witch. The head of the Jesuits being a witch. And the fact that they admitted they follow these spiritual exercises. This is what they do. First of all, visualization prayer, says David Cloud, is disobedience. The Bible contains everything we need for faith and practice. It is able to make the man of God perfect, truly furnished into all good works. The Bible contains everything we need to learn how to pray correctly. And it says nothing whatsoever about imagination prayer. Second, visualization prayer is vain, foolish, because it's pure fantasy. We don't know what Mary or Joseph or the baby Jesus or the room on the manger or the angels or the shepherds or wise men look like. We don't know what they said to one another. We don't know the temperature, the exact smells and taste. If I try to imagine such things, I'm entering the realm of pure fantasy. By the way, that's where devils take over your mind when you do that stuff. When you get into fantasy like that, you get into stuff like that, that's what happens. By the way, 21 people have liked this. 71 people are on. It was up to maybe 75. Share this on your Facebook page. Share this. Put a post on it. Get it out there. Put it in your conservative friends' faces. Third, visualization prayer is not faith. Faith is not based on imagination. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's faith. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Here's what happens. Roman Catholics replaced the church, with the Bible. The Baptist distinctives say this: the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. All rules, all truth comes from God's word. They say all rules, all truth come from the church. So then the Pope in the church, the Jesuits in the church, can change what truth is. We cannot. As Baptists, we hold to the Baptist distinctives. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Fourth, visualization prayer is presumptuous because it goes beyond divine revelation. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. By going beyond the Bible, what the Bible says, trying to delve into Bible history through the imagination, I'm leaving the revealed things and entertaining the secret things. Well, let's keep moving. We won't go any more into that. If you want to read more about that, get David Cloud's book, Contemplative Mysticism. It's a very good resource. You could use it. Ignatius's spiritual exercises are filled with Mary veneration. This is what your Supreme Court justice is trained in, when she goes to those people of praise meetings. This is a spiritual exercise. This is what they practice. Ignatius's spiritual exercises, the practitioner is instructed to pray the Hail Mary many times and to ask Mary for grace, a colloquial which should be addressed to Our Lady, asking her to obtain for me from her Son and Lord the grace to be received under his standard. That's not in the Bible. That's witchcraft. So who is she praying to? Another spirit. Who is Rome submissive to? Babylon. The mystery religion, the mother of all harlots. Rome is submissive to a queen of heaven, a female spirit. Rome follows doctrines of devils. They say their incantation is, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. I don't ask Mary to reveal Jesus to me. I have the word of God. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ is my only hope. Christ is my mediator. Christ is my all. Christ is everything. I need Mary for nothing. I need Christ for everything. The Mary they are talking about is not Jesus' mother. It is the Queen of Heaven. It is that male-female Baphomet spirit. That's who that is. Ignatius taught a works gospel, which is cursed by God. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other thing than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And so say I now again. See, I have to tell the truth because I have a Bible. And the church, which is Rome, by the way, is not my authority. My final authority, my sole authority for faith and practice is the Bible. Old Paths Baptist Church need not exist if it does not follow the scriptures. If its authority is not the scriptures, then what need I to pastor anything? I should go get an honest job. I could go sell vacuum cleaners, run offices, and make $100,000 a year. Because I'd be more of an honest person if we didn't believe the Bible, if we didn't follow God's word. And if I didn't expose this trash out there, and that a ton of Protestants and Baptists are telling me, well, she's better than Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How? Trump admitted there's nothing going on with Roe v. Wade. Nothing's going to happen with that. Well, of course not, because they have their Jesuit coadjutors in there. You mean like John Roberts, who everybody went gaga over? And then as soon as John Roberts changed the law of Obamacare and made it a law, then he was swept off to the island of Malta and got his knightship as a knight of Malta? You mean that guy? The darling of the conservatives? It was supposed to be a great thing. Okay, let's continue on. Ignatius promoted the use of spiritual directors. One of his practices called revelation of thoughts involves examining one's soul and exposing its contents to a director. Does that sound familiar at all to you? Does that sound familiar? Yes. One of his practices, exposing its contents to a director, it is based on the heresy of Catholic confession. Well, why? Well, because in case Amy Coney Barrett doesn't do what she's told when she's in high places like that, whatever she's unveiled to that confessor will be used against her. No, Amy, you won't vote down Roe v. Wade. Amy, you won't vote it down. Because if you do, we're going to expose this, Amy. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? All of these puppets are put there as figureheads. And all of them are controlled. The ones that aren't don't go anywhere. Ron Paul is not a perfect man. I realize there was a letter to him saying that the Pope's what do you call it? His peace plan for peace was okay. Was a good thing or whatever. I'm not condoning any of that. But the libertarian truths that Ron Paul pushed, they were never going to let that happen. They were never going to let an end to the Federal Reserve. They were never going to let that platform go. They were never going to let it. Anyway, so another thing is Ignatius promoted the repetitious breathe prayer, which he called a measured rhythmical recitation. He described this as follows. With each breath or respiration, one should pray mentally while saying a single word of Our Father or other prayer that is being recited in such a way that from one breath to another, single word is said. Yes, Paul. Director, handler. Yes, Paul, you get it. That's right, my friend. That's exactly what it is. Or would it be better, Brother Paul, to say the recorder? I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. The Lord Jesus forbade vain repetitions in prayer. Next to Ignatius's tomb in the Chiesa del Gesù, the Jesuit headquarters in Rome, is a 16th century statue depicting Mary violently casting Protestant reformer Martin Luther and John Huss out of heaven because of their doctrine of Scripture alone and grace alone. The statue titled The Triumph of the Faith Over Heresy, and it was created by Pietro Legros. It depicts official Catholic doctrine that was encapsulated in the proclamation of the Council of Trent. The same monument in the Jesuit church features an angel gleefully tearing up a small book depicting either heretical Protestant books or the vernacular Bible translations. Okay, so what am I saying? You expect me to clap my hands and cheer for some lady that is mind-controlled through Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises, who has a director, when Ignatius Loyola, his whole goal in life is to destroy the Protestant Reformation and to destroy Scripture alone and to destroy grace alone. And you want me to clap for that Supreme Court justice? Right? By the way, what else was it that Ignatius Loyola? Let's see if I can find it here. It's over. You know, on a long list of mystics, Ignatius Loyola makes the list for this. He is said to have not only risen several feet, but become luminous in the process. Now, Christy, you mustn't be a little witch. And you mustn't say things like that. That's classic Jezebel talk. I'm going to repeat what your comment said because I want people to know. And I think maybe someone should check and see what IP address you have. Your wife must hate you considering how angry and mean you are to women, calling them Jezebels and Jesuits. Do you abuse your wife? Someone should do a wellness check on her because you're deranged. Why? Because I call out the little cult? There's something wrong with me? Oh, Christy, all I've done is tell the truth with the facts. It's not my fault she's a witch. I didn't hypnotize her. I'm only repeating your words because I'm not afraid of your words. I'm an open book. What I believe, what I hold to, and what I stand for is clear for everyone to see. I also have five daughters. And I love them very much, like I love my wife very much, who's with child with number seven. And I'm purposely showing your comments so you know I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anything you say about me. My God is bigger than you. And if you do something to me or you do something to my family, my God will deal with you. My God will take care of you. Because my God is able to supply all my needs according to his glory, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not the least bit afraid of anybody like you, nor your Jezebel techniques, nor your tactics. Lady, I use that term loosely, I'm so far ahead of you when it comes to that, you can't even possibly rattle me. Do you understand? I've been rattled by the God of heaven. I've had God's rod touch me. Do you think some foolish tramp that makes accusations online can even closely shake or rattle me with that kind of an accusation? Oh, no. You see, when you expose the wicked works of darkness, you can expect Jezebels to come out everywhere. I'll keep doing what I'm doing by God's grace, and I pray you get saved and you get your heart right with God. I pray that you do, because that's an awful thing to accuse people of. That's a terrible way to act. Christy, you're Jezebel showing. You ought to do something about that. Continuing on, and you might say, Pastor, why do you feed the trolls? Because sometimes you just got to tell them the truth so they know it. And so they can see, I'm not rattled by you. Not in the least bit. Okay, now let's move on. All right. So, people of praise. So, Ignatius Loyola, part of his exercises, that's right, Paul, truth does invite scrutiny. That's right. And you're right, if there's anybody that knows who I am, it's my wife. She certainly does. And so do my children. And next to that, so do the men of this church, full well who I am. Full well. Amen. People of praise practice a form of spiritual direction that involves the supervision of a member by a more spiritually mature person called a head. People of praise maintains that members retain their freedom of conscience in such direction. The community, like the rest of the Catholic Church, excludes women from leadership positions. Look at this part. Watch. It nevertheless encourages women to pursue higher education and employment. Wow. What does that mean exactly? Well, it means that they place women in positions. They place women in positions of influence. What do the Jesuits do? The Jesuits place women and people into positions and places all over the world. Jesuits have always been like that. Man, I wish I had the quote here, and I don't know if I could find it. Let me see if I could find it. It's really good. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it. Man. I don't know where the quote is, but it's an awesome quote. Jay Wiley, he wrote on his Jesuits, on the history. He wrote the history of the Waldenses. He wrote, and I haven't read it all, any of those. But he talks about the Jesuits coadjutors being everywhere. They are on the battlefield. They are in hospitals. They are in high levels of government. They are in king's courts. They are everywhere. And they are loyal. They are loyal. They are a corpse in the Pope's hands. So how could a lady that practices these spiritual exercises, how could she be loyal to the Constitution? How could she be? So let's move on. Who are these people of praise? An influence figure within the Covenant Community Movement, the Milieu within which People of Praise was formed, was Stephen B. Clark, author of Building a Christian Community. In 1963, Clark attended the Archdiocesan Cursillo Center in Chicago, after which he organized a Cursillo retreat in South Bend, Indiana. In the early days of the renewal, that's the charismatic renewal, several Catholic covenant communities were formed. So they formed these little Catholic community cults, communal areas. That's what they did. Others are the sword of the Spirit and the Mother of God community. Under the canon law of the Catholic Church. So, does it bother anyone that conservatives and evangelicals are excited about a Catholic pick for the Supreme Court? They're excited about it when it's designed to overthrow Protestantism, overthrow conservatives, and really what it ends up being about is the Baptist. Because see, I don't personally believe in the pro-life movement. I believe that abortion should be abolished. It should be abolished. It's murder. You have no right to murder. It should be abolished. Okay? As well as the constituent members of the North American Network of Charismatic Covenant Communities. Such communities may have been influenced by the communitarianism of the 1960s counterculture. In general, these communities typically involved in a commitment or at least some degree of sharing financial resources, regular participation in community gatherings, and submission to the direction of the group's designated authorities. See that? People of Praise Proper was formed by Kevin Rannigan and Paul DeCellis in 1971 at South Bend. It experienced early growth recruiting from major universities and was especially closely connected to the University of Notre Dame. Okay, so are you ready for this? Let me explain to you. People of Praise is a high-level secret organization that ciphers off people from Notre Dame, indoctrinates them into the occult, into this occult, and they use it. And they use it to train people. Do you understand that? Do you get it? They use Notre Dame to recruit into that secret organization. So think about it like this way. Think about it like the Masons. Think about it like the Knights of Malta. Think about it like any other cult or the occult. Think about it that way. It is literally a secret society, is what it is. Now do you understand why Trump, Pelosi, and all these people are saying, don't talk about her faith. Don't talk about her faith. And by the way, the Democrats are acting like they're really against this. They're not. They're not. It's part of the game. It's the right-left paradigm. Because if the left tells them, she shouldn't be look at her religion, look at this, look at that, look at all these other things. If the left says that about her, then the right's going to automatically say, don't stop our Supreme Court. Pick Trump, Trump, Trump. That's what they're going to do. But you have to understand something. Rome has an open doctrine and they have a secret one. What's the secret one? Under many of the convents, you will find babies that were aborted by the nuns who were fornicating with the priests and others. You will find it. You will find more than that. You will find child sacrifice. You will find it. You will also find death to Protestants, death to Baptists. You will find persecution of the true saints of God. That is Rome's secret doctrine. They have never renounced any of those councils that condemn Protestants, Baptists, Anabaptists, any others. They have never renounced those. And they will not renounce those. Because that's who they are. The People of Praise community, they had a magazine, New Heaven and New Earth. By 1987, People of Praise had around 3,000 members, including children. By the end of the 1980s, Catholics were 92% of the membership. The People of Praise community joined in burgeoning Catholic charismatic renewal of the times, which had begun in the United States in 1967 and saw Pentecostal religious experience and practices such as baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues embraced by members of the Catholic Church. The community became involved with the International Body of Renewal movement, which is this.
It's really interesting, and in all four Gospels, John the Baptist introduces Jesus not only as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but as the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is one of the central things that Jesus does. And thanks be to God, there's a growing awareness of that today in the Catholic Church.
Pope Francis began Pentecost 2017 celebrations with a prayer and praise vigil at the ancient Circus Maximus in Rome. Thousands of Christians from around the world joined the Pope to mark the 50th Jubilee of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. The college-aged American pioneers of the Renewal are now its elders, and many were in attendance. In their lifetime, the Renewal has sparked a new Pentecost among Catholics worldwide. The movement began in 1967, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit were bestowed upon a group of Duquesne University students on retreat at the Ark and the Dove. Kevin and Dorothy Ranahan remember when friends first told them about the Duquesne outpouring.
My reaction here was pretty negative, and so was Dorothy's. But we knew these people well. I mean, they were solid, responsible, renewal-minded Catholics, and they were scholars. I mean, we were all in the intellectual life. We were all students or professors in theology, church history, philosophy.
And so we could see that even in their faces, there was something changed and different. And so although we wanted to discount what they were saying as sounding a little fringy, we could not deny the experience we saw they had changed them. And whatever it was, I think we came to see we wanted that too. We wanted more. We didn't even know what the more was sometimes, but we wanted more. More of the Lord, more work to do, more empowerment. We felt like a lot of things in the world needed to be changed and that we were the changers.
Newly married at the time, Kevin taught theology at St. Mary's College in Indiana, and Dorothy was a Catholic high school teacher. Both earned master's degrees in theology from the University of Notre Dame. After hearing about his colleagues at Duquesne, Kevin embarked on a 6-week study of the scriptures and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit at a Bible study among fellow Catholics.
This was a personal experience of Jesus standing next to me, which I had.
Oh, okay. So you see who these people are? This is what started this people of praise. These are the people that started. They're the founders of that, the Charismatic Catholic Renewal. This is who they are.
I'd never had before. And it was very powerful. And it was so changing. I mean, suddenly, even that night, Scripture was alive, my faith was renewed, was filled with joy.
Dorothy received the baptism the next day, alone in a chapel.
It was like the Lord planted a flag in the center of my life and said, this is permanent, hang on to this, you know? And it changed.
Yeah, I have that. It's called the Bible. That's what I have, the same thing, only mine's the Bible. Right?
Everything.
The couple sought out the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, an organization with roots in Pentecostalism, to learn how to use the gifts for ministry.
And I can't imagine how he reacted to this phone call. Hi, we're a bunch of Catholics from Notre Dame, and we've just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we would like...
Do you think it's interesting that they're from Notre Dame? We're a bunch of Catholics from Notre Dame. So you see how they use Notre Dame, and they're ciphering off these groups.
I'd like to find out about the spiritual gifts. Can you help us?
After spending some time with the Full Gospel Businessmen, the Ranahans began to lead meetings on the Notre Dame campus and witnessed the gifts of the Spirit flowing freely.
Well, we had these large prayer meetings, sometimes 400 people every week. They were amazing meetings in that we were all so new to this.
So we started praying for everybody if they wanted healing, and quite often we saw healing.
Sure you did.
After Easter in 1967, Catholic students from top American universities met at Notre Dame to learn more about the Duquesne outpouring. Ralph Martin, a Notre Dame philosophy graduate, was a campus ministry leader when he brought 40 students from Michigan State to the gathering.
They called it the first International Catholic Charismatic Conference because there was one nun from Canada who came.
Later, members of the Renewal Movement launched ministry enterprises like New Covenant Magazine, which spread news of the outpouring around the country. That summer, several Duquesne University students lived with Lutheran pastor and founding CBN board member Harold Bredesen in his parish home near New York City to learn street evangelism.
It was like discovering in his school, in the Holy Spirit school of Harold Bredesen, what it was to walk in God's providence, what it meant to evangelize.
And we realized that we had a responsibility not just to preach the gospel, but to learn how to do it well and to be effective at it, not just kind of throwing it at people.
Back at Notre Dame, Catholic priests, nuns, and lay leaders attended the renewal meetings while on campus for continuing education.
When they went home, they took this with them. They went all over the United States, they went to Australia, they went to the Philippines, they went to various countries in Europe. So I can remember one night being in that room and hearing a prophecy that I remember this way: fire, fire, fire spreading from east to west. And it went on to talk about what we were experiencing spreading around the world.
After the National Catholic Reporter ran newspaper coverage of the outpouring, Pope Paul VI sent Cardinal Sunens of Belgium, one of the four moderators of Vatican II, to evaluate what was happening. The Cardinal met with Ralph Martin and observed various student groups.
So all my life, he said, I've been searching for wherever the Holy Spirit's working, trying to understand what's happening. I came here, I see the Holy Spirit's working. I want to do whatever I can to help you integrate this and open the whole Catholic Church up to it and bring you into the very center of things.
Cardinal Sunens invited Ralph Martin and his young family to Belgium to help lead the renewal in Europe. By 1975, 10,000 Catholic charismatics from around the world joined Cardinal Sunens in Rome for Pentecost.
Be a sign to the world and show them by the radiance of your face that Christ is risen.
Pope Paul VI entered St. Peter's Basilica and addressed the movement as a chance for the church.
Right from the very top, sort of this open door to the Holy Spirit, and it just kind of went on from there.
The renewal also birthed new religious orders and increased the number of those called into ministry. In the early 1970s, Father George Montague, a Pauline scholar and professor at St. Mary's University in Texas, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit after a nun who had attended the Notre Dame meetings demonstrated spiritual gifts.
Well, here's the New Testament alive right in front of me. This happening is the Holy Spirit coming right in front of me. You know, I had been baptized, I'd been confirmed, I had made religious vows. I was ordained as a priest, you know, and so all those things kind of blocked me a little bit because, you know, what more do I need?
After 25 years of ministry in the renewal, Father Montague, along with Father Bob Hogan, formed Brothers of the Beloved Disciple to serve in San Antonio, Texas.
The Holy Spirit empowers our ministry through the spiritual gifts so that people can say, wow, truly God is in your midst. Truly Jesus is reaching out to me.
A fruit of their ministry is Maricela Solis, a widowed retired school teacher from San Antonio, who spent 30 years away from the church. She says the renewal led her back to Christ.
And I was so depressed, and I was so lost, and I was in such darkness that I knew I had to go back to the church. The first thing the renewal teaches you is God loves you so much, you have no idea. God is your perfect father. And that was life-changing for me. I finally found a father. But this connection with the Holy Spirit today, oh, it's real. It's real, it's palpable.
Today, more than 120 million Catholics in 240 countries enjoy life in the Spirit. In February 2017, Fernando Nascimento traveled from Brazil to the Ark and the Dove for the 50th anniversary of the historic outpouring.
Celebrating the golden jubilee of the Catholic charismatic renewal.
Fernando's entire family came to Christ after a word of knowledge and a prayer of deliverance rescued his alcoholic brother.
So they laid hands on my brother, and he knew alcoholic. And he stand up full of the Holy Spirit, you know. And this was a wonderful changing, you know. I saw my brother coming on that evening, shining, really shining.
Today, the brothers preach the gospel all over Brazil. And Fernando hosts the Brazilian TV show, Praise the Lord.
the Lord Jesus through this renewal.
They're just so stinking slimy. I can't stand it because it's not even gospel. It's not Bible doctrine. It's not truth. It's all a bunch of feel-good garbage.
Really touched our family. I don't know where would we be without the Lord Jesus.
As the pioneers of the movement recall their history, they anticipate greater Holy Spirit-inspired wonders ahead. From Sister Elena's urgent letters to Pope Leo, to the 1901 outpouring in Kansas, to the Azusa Street Revival, to the Duquesne Weekend and beyond, all of these events declare the gifts of the Holy Spirit are intended for every generation, as the Spirit works to unite all Christians to Christ and to each other in order to reach the world.
None of it, nothing that they said, nothing that they said resulted in the gospel being preached. It was all feelings. That's all it was. Okay, so that's this group, Rome-based gathering in this Holy Spirit. Members also served as Cardinal Josef Sunens in drafting the Malines documents 1 and 2, and with Father McDonnell in writing the Fanning the Flame, which we kind of talked about. So they covenant themselves together. Membership is open to all baptized Christians who believe in the Nicene Creed. There are two stages of membership of the community underway, and covenanted people are new to the community join as underway members. The stage of membership is meant as a time for people new to the community to freely explore in consultation with the leadership whether they belong in the community. While a member is underway, he or she actively participates in all aspects of community life. Talks about their leadership, their lay pastors, gender roles. The highest office a woman could hold is a woman leader, formerly a handmaiden. They teach women on womenly affairs. So basically, this is a replacement for the Lord's church. True church. That's what they do. By the way, they started what's called Trinity Schools, and they've started a number of them. Students take 5 semesters of scriptural studies through an ecumenical Christian approach and either a Catholic or Protestant doctrine course. Trinity Schools maintain small classes with single-sex instruction, except a few key courses such as drama, art, and foreign language. The schools teach the theory of evolution. So wait a minute, you're telling me that these supposed Christians don't believe that God created the heaven and the earth? They teach evolution? Yeah. That's what they teach. So, let me show you one more video. And this isn't directly related, but it's the same spirit. You know, you got to accept who God puts up there is what these people preach to you. I want you to listen to this. This is Bill Johnson of Bethel, the witch from Bethel. Same charismatic spirit as these other people. Same thing. And listen to him scold.
I don't want to get into politics right now, although it's very tempting. Let me take just a little tiny, teensy, weensy piece. There's tens of millions of believers that did not vote in the last election, and I'll tell you why. It's because they don't believe a vote matters.
I'm one of them. I didn't vote for the President of the United States because I thought it was ridiculous. Because I saw both of them and I thought nothing's going to change. They're both the same. They both work for the same people.
They don't believe that when you do a natural thing, a spiritual power is released.
So I bet you didn't know that when you vote, a spiritual power is released. Did you know that? I didn't either. But Witchy Poo here knows it. So he's saying that, guess what? There's a spiritual power released. See, these people are all the same. They all have the same spirit.
They actually believe that the world is supposed to get worse and worse, and that's when the Lord comes back. And so why work against that which brings Jesus back to earth? They don't have an expectation of the glory of God. They have an expectation of the increasing evil, and that would be the sign that brings the Lord back. So why work against the purposes of the Lord? And so they actually be...
That is absolutely retarded. I have never heard one Christian tell me that ever that didn't vote because they were making it worse so more evil would happen. That is such charismatic witch nonsense. That's all that is. It's nonsense. I don't know anybody that believes that at all.
Become contributors. Their silence makes them a contributor to the growing evil in the land.
So my silence is a growing evil. Right? What he's saying is, if you don't vote, it's your fault. Well, what if both of them are evil? How could I vote for one of them? Right? How can I vote for either one of them if they both stand for evil?
Physical obedience brings spiritual release. Every time you vote in Jesus' name, you've released the power of God into the atmosphere.
Every time you vote in Jesus' name, you release the power of God into the atmosphere because you have control of the power of God. God doesn't have control of the power of God. You do. So basically what he's saying is this is you. Let me show you something. He's saying, this is you when you vote right here. This is you.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my...
This is what happens when you vote, okay? This is what he's saying. I love the way he said this. Does it not sound like what he just said? Watch.
Fabulous secret powers.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed unto me.
Were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull.
Now, let's stop there for a second. Let's just go back here and let's learn a good lesson here from this, okay? Let's just back it up just a bit here. Let me just remember.
In his name, you've released the power of God into the atmosphere.
Okay, let's back this up a little bit. All right. So, if you do this, this is what he's saying pretty much happens.
Every time you vote in Jesus' name, you release the power of God into the atmosphere. You're not voting by yourself. There's an angelic presence with you. It is shouting amen to voting the value system of heaven. Stop voting for personality. Start voting for values. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done. I got into it and out, and there's no casualties.
Let me back up. I'll back up so you can hear it. I'm sorry, but that's... I can't help it. It's just what I think. When I think of these charismatic clowns, this is what comes up. It does.
Physical obedience brings spiritual release. Every time you vote in Jesus' name, you've released the power of God into the atmosphere. You're not voting by yourself. There's an angelic presence with you that is shouting.
I sort of believe there is some kind of angelic presence with that guy when he votes. But it's called demons. Fallen angels.
Amen to voting the value system of heaven. Stop voting for...
Is Donald Trump the value system of heaven? Is Amy Coney Barrett the value system of heaven?
Personality. Start voting for values. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done. I got into it and out, and there's no casualties.
Okay. Anyway, there you go. Well, I think that's enough evidence and understanding of who these people are, of who this woman is, right? And how she was trained, what the group is, how long she's been in it, how much she's been trained by it, the spiritual exercises that they practice, and all those things. Makes sense to me. Anybody want to say hi who's on here maybe the first time? Somebody that's mad at me? I'll give you an opportunity to say hi.
Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Mary had a baby, he is the King of Glory. Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, ain't that good news? He will die to save us, honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us, ain't that good news? Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior, he comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior, he comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby, Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning, ain't that good news?
Amen, that is good news. All right, some people here. Dick Nixon. That's why I love watching Pastor Cooley, because I'm still sadly astonished to actually see and hear common sense. Yeah. Well, there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Hey, Ben. Let's see. Bet you didn't know you had that secret power. Don't you love it? All the charismatics talk about that you, only you have the power to release the power in the air. Only you do. The power is yours. That's right. I suffered not a witch, Aaron. In the words of Paul, Suffer not a witch. Oh, boy. Yep. They do get the anointing. Sure, God will use. Jody Hammond asks the question, will God use non-believers to ever do his will, to work out his will for the good? Yeah, of course he does. I just can't stand when people lie about, like, who these people are, and they act like we should be completely excited. Why? Because they throw a bone to conservatives when they're not? Just like, it's just like, it's ridiculous. Like Trump, the national debt has doubled since he's been president. He's not a conservative. It just makes people mad when I say things like that. Anybody else out there want to say hi? Before we go, just say something. That'd be all right.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Christy Nelson asks, where's the love? Well, the love is telling you the truth. Would you rather me tell you lies, Christy? Would you rather me tell you that Judge Amy Coney Barrett is a good Christian? Would you rather be lied to? Let me show you something, Christy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See that? Sometimes your friends have to wound you and tell you the truth, and it wounds you a bit. But I would like to add, where would be the love from you when you falsely accused me and tried to place it in people's minds that I'm some kind of abusive person because I speak sharply and tell people the truth? Where's your love to say such awful things like that? To try to plant seeds in people's mind like that? Well, that's not love. That's not love at all. That's hate. But it's masked. It's masked. Because your true motives, you're trying to mask. That's what I would say.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, now who rulest wind and water, stand by me. And in the midst of tribulations, stand by me. In the midst of tribulations, stand by me. When the host of the hill a sail, and my strength begins to fail. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Isn't it amazing? All of them come out. All of them come out, don't they? That's something. And they're all just fake accounts. Half of them aren't even real. Like these people that are coming out in opposition, they're not even real. They're just fake accounts, so they just come out. It's just, that's the way they operate. The trolls like coming on here because they get mad. But here's the truth, by the way. John Roberts, Roman Catholic. Clarence Thomas, Roman Catholic. Stephen Breyer, Judaism. Samuelito, Roman Catholic. Sonia Sotomayor, Roman Catholic. Ellen Kagan, Judaism. Neil Gorsuch, raised Roman Catholic. Brett Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic. Amy Coney Barrett, Roman Catholic. There you go. You can't make it up. It's all right there. And most of them are just fake accounts that they come on there and they just say things. They just want to argue with people. I know. Carl, that's exactly who's behind it. They make up fake accounts. They make up pictures of me. They do all the weird stuff, and that's just what they do. They don't have anything better to do. Yep, we live in some crazy times, that's for sure. But God is merciful to us. Aaron, you're right about that. Most of them, they're not who they say they are. They come on with fake accounts. They come on. That's just the way it is. And hey, I know I spoke sharply. I understand that. But you shouldn't come into somebody's house and pick a fight with them. You just shouldn't do that. And then try to detract and take away from everything they're teaching. You shouldn't do that. It's just not the way. It's not the way to do things. All because you're pretty much mad because the truth has been revealed of who they really support. It just makes people mad. Really, Justin? You know what I think is a bit much? Well, I think a bit much is accusing me of beating my wife and not being good to my family. I think that's a bit much, don't you? I think that's a bit much. That's what I think. Seems like it was a great revealer of things, didn't it? I would, Ross, if I can do it without getting in any trouble. If I could find hymns in a playlist and think, yeah, that'd be a good idea. If I can do it without people, you know, getting all upset with YouTube, I mean, not stopping me or whatever, I wouldn't mind doing that. I mean, seriously. But what is the definition of a tramp, though? A person who travels from one place to place on foot in search of work as a vagrant or a beggar. Or a loose woman. I'm just curious. Do you know any godly women? Do you know any godly women that come on a man's page and talk to him like that? I don't. I don't know any godly women that do that. I don't know any godly women that come on a man's page and start arguing with him. I don't know any that do that. Way it goes. Was quite the accusation, wasn't it? I would say so. Anyway. So, and by the way, I didn't even block that person either. So, I let him talk. But anyway. We won't worry about that right now. I'm going to get out of here. I got to get some stuff done. I got to go pick my Jeep up today. It's finished. So I got to get that picked up today sometime. And get everything done today. But anyway, so I hope you learned something from it. And I hope it made sense. And, you know, I'll be sharing it with other people. So... But anyway, have a good night, and we'll be back, Lord willing, on Monday.